You're listening to the Sound of Football podcast, a ride on the football fairground.
Hello and a very warm welcome to another edition of the Sound of Football podcast. Chris Oakley here, ably assisted as ever by my two wonderful co-hosts, Graham Sibley and Terry DeFellin. Hello, Terry and Graham.
Hello.
Hello, Chris.
What? Did you just say Chris?
Yes, I said hello, Chris. That is
I didn't
name.
Hear the hello bit. I just thought you went Chris in a kind of very random way.
It did sound a bit sinister, but go with it. I think it works.
Hello, Chris.
Graham.
Even better.
Chris.
Well, that's got the formalities out of the way then.
We're off to a roaring start.
Roaring start. Yes, indeed. If this doesn't get us a nomination for an award, then nothing will.
Leave it.
Let it
that ain't worth it.
And it's not happening either.
I think we should put all that to one side and get on with the real business of this podcast, which is for us this week looking at the Champions League, maybe even a bit of Europa League later on if we've got time. But the Champions League is upon us once again, and of course we're at the business end of proceedings. We're into the knockout stages. The round of 16 beckons over the next week or two, and so we're going to give you our take on the matches that you can expect to see probably on your TV screens and not far away from where you happen to be at the moment. So lots of great games coming up, chaps, and I suppose first of all we should do our country proud by looking at those matches involving the English teams. Graham, why don't I come to you first of all? Arsenal, the big game, arguably the big name match for the whole of the round of 16, Arsenal against Barcelona, and we've got a bit of previous, of course, and goes without saying it's not going to be easy for Arsenal, is it? But can Arsenal, with home support, hope to get 3 points? Is that possible in any way, shape or form?
Well, I certainly think they can. I know there's a lot of doomsaying going on about Arsenal-Barcelona and like that. You know, this is where their assault on the, at least this branch of silverware found us. But I certainly think that Arsenal, certainly at the Emirates last year, I mean, they gave a fantastic account, and the tool draw was one of the best games I saw last season. Certainly one of the best Arsenal performances around last season. And of course, people say, "Oh yes, but they went to Barcelona and they were torn apart by the masterclass of Messi." But you can't forget that Arsenal went over there. I think, you know, yeah, they're seriously under strength. I mean, didn't have Fabregas, didn't have Van Persie, and I think, more tellingly, they didn't have Song. And Song would have been the man detailed to Messi in the midfield. And, and I think that was where, you know, it mainly fell apart for Arsenal. It was always going to be difficult, but I think this time around, yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, and especially I watched Barcelona on Saturday night, and I would have thought that Wenger would have been watching that with great interest. Without Puyol at the back, Barcelona aren't that confident, I don't think, at the back. I mean, like, you know, they are Barcelona and they don't concede many goals, but. But for the goal that they conceded against Gijon, Piqué was exposed really quite horribly in that incident, and he was found wanting, and it was certainly something that I think if Theo Walcott was watching that, he'd think, "Yep, I reckon I could have him."
Why did Barcelona only score one goal against Gijon?
Because Gijon defended really well. It's not as if like you know Barcelona had like you know bags and bags of chances that they just basically squandered.
Why did they defend really well? Were they playing very defensively, or I mean, do you anticipate Arsenal setting themselves up in the way that Gijon did?
Probably not to as great an extent, but then again, I think Arsenal have got more to offer going forward than Gijon have. So I don't think they'll be parking the bus. And like, to be fair, Gijon, you know, you're right, they did have a lot of men back. And yes, if you were going to be cruel, you would say yes, they did park the bus a bit. But no, I mean, they attacked well when they had the opportunity to. And I think if Arsenal go out there with a sort of with a counter attacking mentality, then you know I think you know they're not going to be caught napping like they were at the Nou Camp. They're not going to be like you know basically torn apart. I think it's just going to be a very very different game. And I could easily see it ending up 2-2 again like it did last year.
Of course, if you take out the recent result against Newcastle out of the equation, Arsenal actually have been defending pretty well, generally speaking, I would have thought. One would suggest perhaps that they're going to learn their lessons from that Newcastle match, of which we mustn't speak too much.
Well, I mean, you say it, but I mean, results like the Newcastle one, you know, they happen. Hmm. You know, on another day, you know, with, you know, the 50-50 refereeing decisions get called or don't get called, or
completely different result.
Completely different result. Arsenal could have walked away 5-2 winners in that game if the penalties weren't given, or the offside was given, but you know wasn't incorrectly called, but you know it wasn't, and so you have to live with it. You move on. And but those are the margins with which a lot of the time a lot of results hinge on, aren't they?
They certainly are. Terry, I'm going to be caddish here and give you the job of talking about Tottenham's chances. They're going to be travelling to Milan. It looks like they're going to be going there with a bit of a skeleton squad due to various players being missing, most notably Christian Bale. You mustn't laugh.
Sorry.
All right, go on then. Last time, of course, they were at the San Siro. They were losing 4-3 to Inter. But, I mean, it's interesting, when you go back to the start of the season, there was our podcast that we did around about the time of the... I think it was just before the playoff round for the Champions League, and we're all being, you know, very, very immature, frankly, and writing off Tottenham's chances. But, you know, they've sort of done the job. They've finished top of their group, and here they are. They're playing Milan. What say you of their chances?
Reasonable. Milan have been, well, leaving aside the fact that they've just spanked Parma 4-0 in the league, they had gone through two consecutive draws, so perhaps not in the best shape. But they haven't lost a game at the San Siro for a little while, so it's going to be difficult to see them losing out there. It's difficult to tell because Tottenham are in such uncharted waters, and as you say, they're missing Christian Bale. So, you know, this is a difficult place for them, and how will they cope? Now you look at that lineup, you look at Zlatan, and you know even Robinho on form, Pato, you know, there's just such a wealth of talent, you know, up front, and they're just so experienced in that at that level that. Now, although they're perhaps not the great Milan teams of past, they're certainly, I think, have got the experience to be able to cope with a team like Tottenham that will be, I think, really exuberant. At the same time, it's important not to get caught out. I think I've said in the past that I've perhaps allowed my own sort of beef with Tottenham and with their manager to perhaps cloud my judgment of their abilities, and they have surprised everybody in this competition
for sure.
It's dangerous to make any rash predictions about them. I imagine over two legs it's going to be very open, and I'm bound to say that I imagine that they're going to be two very very good games, perhaps more dramatic and intriguing. In the first leg, but I think at the Lane, where anybody who chooses to watch that match is in for a treat, in my view. Mm.
I'd agree there. Actually, on paper it looks like a very very good game. It's just a shame that a lot of the key players on both teams aren't going to be involved in it, especially the new signings for Milan. Cassano
and
Van Bommel. Terry, what do you think that as a signing for Milan? I mean, 33 years old. I mean, like one of the biggest criticisms for Milan is the fact that they've got a relatively old squad. I don't know how true that actually is, really, in the modern game. But I mean, like, what do you think of that for them?
I think he's a solid signing for Milan. He's a good. He comes across as a classic Milan type signing. As you were saying, Graham, they are all have a reputation for knocking on a bit. He's 33. And he seems to have been around for a very long time. Obviously he's a polarising figure, Van Bommel, but I've since revisited my opinion about him because the more I've thought about it, the more I'm struggling to think of when Van Bommel has actually seriously done anyone any damage. He can be pretty vicious, and he has an excellent way of hoodwinking referees or just knowing when referees' backs are turned or eyes are averted, and then gets a really meaty one in down the back of the Achilles and really messes someone up, and they're rolling around and they're in genuine pain. But to what extent he's actually hospitalised someone or put someone out for any length of time, I'm not so sure. I'd be interested if the listeners perhaps might be able to recall that. So I suspect he's perhaps a little bit more crafty and a bit more intelligent a player than anything else. I mean, he left Bayern because I think they were looking for some more dynamism within the centre of the midfield. I don't think he was providing that. I think he was just being a hatchet job. Oh. I would imagine that Milan are thinking, well, no, actually what we would quite like is a hatchet man in there. And that's what they've got. So, a decent signing and plenty of experience.
Yeah, well, I suppose it could be argued that anyone over 25 at the moment is too old for the Bundesliga, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true enough. Yeah, no, that's true. But, Champions League final experience, World Cup final experience, albeit as a loser. You know, the guy's got Bundesliga titles coming out of his ears. You know, I mean, he's a player of genuine pedigree, and he's not out, I wouldn't imagine, although I haven't seen Milan with him in the team yet. I don't imagine for a moment he looks out of place there.
Yeah.
What Milan do have at their disposal, Ibrahimovic, Rubinho and Pato, who certainly the BBC would have us believe are going to be playing up front in a three-man attack. So that's quite a mouth-watering prospect, yes. So they reckon. No, indeed. Milan on good form at the moment, and say Tottenham have got a whole raft of players missing, although apparently Van der Vaart is available now, and I think Crenshaw will be playing, as you said, Graham, in your TV preview that you wrote on footballfairground.com earlier on today. Crouch, Modric, Doubts, and so many players missing. But essentially two teams on pretty good form, so it should be a mouth-watering prospect. Elsewhere, other games going on, I'll sort of quickly zip through the two matches involving French clubs, if I may. Lyon are at home to Real Madrid. Lyon are coming back to good form at the moment, but Real Madrid should be more than a match for them, and I think they'll struggle. Similarly, Marseille, I think, will come unstuck. They're at home to Manchester United. And, Marseille are also sort of working their way back up towards the top of the Ligue 1 table, but they're not entirely convincing at the moment, and Manchester United are just absolutely on fire as far as I'm concerned at the moment, irrespective of Wayne Rooney's bicycle kicking antics. So this could be the last chance saloon for the two French clubs. Maybe being a bit too rash and dismissive of that, but there we go. Somebody's got to be, I suppose.
Can I just interject very briefly, just as a by way of a slight interlude? Which was better, Wayne Rooney's bicycle kick or Marco van Basten's for Ajax?
You know what I'm going to say.
I know what you're going to say, and I know why you're going to say it as well. You're going to say Van Basten, and the reason why is because you saw a picture of him mid-flight. While he's upside down, he's looking at the goals. And that's why that's a better goal.
Yes.
He's upside down, and his eyes firmly fixed on the goals. He's not worried about where his feet are. He's not worried about where the ball is in relation to his feet. He's just got it. Rooney was trying to do it. He said in his interview afterwards he was trying to look at the goals to make sure he knew where he was going. But that element of control and confidence about Van Basten's strike, for me, makes it, I think, the better strike. But anyway.
I'll go for Van Basten just purely on account of the fact that he didn't insist on his salary being increased fivefold before he decided to do it.
He didn't have a bunch of rubes at Sky saying, how brilliant he is, and it's the end of the world, nothing else is important beyond this.
Oh, it's the best goal we've ever scored.
Anyway, to continue...
Yes. Yeah, so continue. Let's have a look at the German teams then. Terry, if you can divulge us on this one.
So.
The Schalke, they're away to Valencia in what should be equally as good a match. Two teams, would you say sort of... Who would have the upper hand in that one?
Well, I think Valencia, but I don't watch a lot of Spanish football, so I don't know whether or not Valencia are as good as I imagine them to be. So I only really know about Schalke. I know that Schalke are struggling. They did win their last game against Freiburg, who are having a good season, Freiburg, but they are not, I would suggest to you, one of the top teams in the Bundesliga. In fact, they've only won one in their last five themselves, Freiburg. Ooh. So I think that Schalke they drew with Dortmund, as many of you may know, the Revier Derby, which is a decent. They lost to Hoffenheim before then. They're sort of languishing, kind of mid-table, and they're having a pretty awful season. They got some cracking players, obviously. Raul, when Schalke are playing well, usually it's because Raul is playing well. Extraordinary tenacity of the player, not having to do the kind of things that he would have been expected to do at Real Madrid, chasing and harrying and working for the ball and playing like a right centre forward and really, you know, having to work hard. He's not gone there for the pension at all, Raul. Huntelaar, of course, everyone knows about him and what he's capable of. But also the other Spanish geezer, the 24-year-old Jurado. Schalke are always a much better team when he is in the side. But, and this is a huge but, it's Christoph Metzelder at the back there for him. He, in my opinion, has had a very poor season for Schalke. And is one of the reasons why they are so poorly organised.
Shambolic, I'd say. I mean, looking at the Dortmund game. All right, Dortmund are a fantastic team this season, but that first half an hour, I mean, it was just all hands to the pump at that. It was Keystone Cops, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, somebody on Twitter in defence of Metzelder quoted the number of tackles that he completed successfully this season, and that it was higher than a lot of other centre-halves. But for me, that isn't a defence. That's just an indication of how poorly defending you are, because you need to organise yourself much better so that you're not making those kind of tackles. A centre-half making a tackle is almost certainly going to be around, you know, the penalty area, the 12-yard area, in those danger zones, and really you want to be organising yourself. I've never understood that about people like John Terry so much, because, you know, the amount, I mean, brave John Terry, he threw himself in front of that. Well, you know, if he wasn't out of position in the first place, he wouldn't have had to have done that. It's a bit like that with Metzelder, I'm afraid. Sorry to dig up old Dolly, but before we leave Schalke, just a couple of players that might be worth looking out for. The Anthony Annan, who was signed from I think the Norwegian club Vålerenga, I think, I may be wrong about that, has come in and has been relatively impressive. But also, if he gets a game, and he may do, that 17-year-old midfielder Julian Draxler, certainly somebody to look out for, particularly on the German international scene. By all accounts, and from what little I've seen of him, a real prospect, and it'll be interesting to see if Magath decides to blood him in this game. I genuinely hope he does, and I suspect he might.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because Valencia, I think, are shooting above their weight this year. After losing Silva and Villa, you'd have thought they would have struggled to score goals, and yeah, the goals haven't come easy for them this season. But they're in third place. Right, they're a good third. But you know, they're still looking comfortable. I mean, like, you know, they're 9 points clear inside the Champions League spot. So like, things are looking pretty comfortable for them to be in a very similar position next season. So.
A smooth transition as they kind of adjust.
It looks to be the way. I think, you know, I think that's one of the more interesting ties away from the obvious ones in this round of Champions League games.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And of course, the other German team involved in the round of 16 is Bayern Munich. They're away to Inter. And, Bayern Munich have been sticking the old goals away like there's no tomorrow at the moment. They're doing tremendously well. Inter lost to Juventus at the weekend. So, Any rash predictions at this stage on who you might think might win that one?
Well, I would still fancy Inter over two legs. Again, I think Bayern's problems are sort of similar to Schalke's problems, is the defence hasn't improved. They have got rid of Martin De Michelis, which is a good thing, but they haven't replaced him with anyone, which is a bad thing. And at the moment, they're playing defensive midfielder Anatoly Timoshuk is as centre half alongside Holger Badstuber. I don't think that's the kind of formation, you know, the selection that's going to cut it against the guys like Samuel Eto'o, to be brutally honest with you.
Is Lahm actually defending, or is he ranging as a wing back at the moment?
Well, it's a good question. He's playing that kind of wing back role, but I would imagine he'll be told to be more defensive against Inter. It is worth bearing in mind that Robin and Ribery played together for the first time this season in the 4-0 defeat of Hoffenheim on Saturday.
Yeah.
So Robin scored two goals. It's worth couching that with the fact that Van Gaal may well set up the side to play, you know, Crafts and Badstuber and Timoshuk as a three-man defence and have the two fullbacks running up right behind Robin and Ribery and playing, you know, he could go on the Uber attack against Inter to try and overwhelm them and get as many goals as they possibly can. To try and outscore them, because I think even though Inter have had a few more problems than last year, obviously I think they're a more complete and more balanced side. I don't read too much into the derby defeat, frankly, because it was a derby. I'd still think over two legs, though. The better team, I would suggest to you, is Inter.
Mm-hmm. We did break off from looking at the English teams earlier on before we got to Chelsea, and we'll just come to them in a moment. But first of all, just pay quick lip service to our penultimate game in the whole raft that are going on. That's Roma against Shakhtar Donetsk. We need James Appel here to be able to talk about Ukrainian football, of course. James isn't here, partly because we didn't invite him, but that's neither here nor there.
He almost certainly would have said no as well. He's a lovely man, but I mean, I think this would have been a bit too much for him.
He's also a shrewd man, yes. with what my limited knowledge of Ukrainian football, I'm inclined to go for Roma. Although I think Roma are sort of slipping somewhat, are they not?
I'm not so certain about that. I mean, I'm just having a look down that Donetsk lineup, and I'm seeing some interesting names. I'm seeing obviously Eduardo da Silva, the former Arsenal player. I'm also seeing Douglas Costa as well, and indeed Rat, who has an amazing name. But they were very good last year, and you know, I think they're still the backbone of that UEFA Cup winning side from a couple of seasons ago. Whereas, I don't know, Graham, Roma, not so good this season.
No, well, they were having a great time of it, but they really have slipped over the last couple of weeks. And from going to Champions League positions, they've slipped out there, and I think they're now eighth, I think, in the table. And it's not looking good for them. They've had a couple of tough ties in there, but really, you know, if you're looking at to be in that part of the table, you know, when you're hosting Napoli, you've got to think of putting up a decent performance, and they didn't. I think the Champions League spots might be a bit far for them this year, because it's getting quite competitive there at the top of Serie A at the moment.
Quite so. As I mentioned before, we sort of scurrilously missed out Chelsea, who are away to Copenhagen in their match. And of course, this is uncharted territory for FCK, first Danish team to reach the last 16. And, you know, Chelsea starting to get back to some semblance of form, shall we say. They've got Torres, but I don't suppose that he'll be playing any part in this, due to, you know, obviously the fact that he's been playing for Liverpool already in this competition.
He should play.
Oh, is he available?
Well, he hasn't been playing Champions League this season.
Of course he hasn't. No,
but it doesn't mean that if you've been playing Europa League, you're also out of it.
I don't know. I was under the impression that there was a deadline for these things, and that he's met that.
We should know this stuff, shouldn't we?
Although I've just seen the first half of the Chelsea Fulham game, and I mean, there is a case for leaving him out of the side anyway.
Well, it's probably why they left Drogba on the bench.
You'll know this when you listen back, and listeners will be listening to this now, and they will have probably have seen that absolutely beautiful ball that's passed. I don't know what 30-40 yard ball from David Luiz, who looks a fantastic player.
He looks very good,
actually,
doesn't he?
And he passed it on an absolute sixpence for the onrushing Torres, and all he had to do, well, frankly, I mean, in Torres years gone by, he'd have taken it first time and larruped it, to use a hackneyed expression, into the back of the net, and his first touch just punted it away from him. It was absolutely dreadful first touch, and it couldn't have been. I mean, you would have looked at it and gone, and when you guys see it, and I'm sure you'll get a chance to see it, you'll think, oh my lord, how did that happen? So the guy is not having a good time at the moment, and so it may well be that it's just as well that he's not eligible to play for the Champions League.
Yeah, now you may think that we're just underprepared, but yeah, chaps, I think you've unwittingly fallen into the trap, because, of course, this is our audience participation part of the podcast, where we ask our audience to send in the details that we don't know. Anyway, there it is. So that's the Champions League. We're nearly out of time, but a very quick run through one or two matches in the Europa League. Man City are away to Aris of Greece, which Graham, you pointed out earlier on, they've got... It's rather strange. They're unbeaten at home in European competition for 40 years. I'm not quite sure how they've managed to do it. Probably only been in European competition twice in the last 40 years and whatever. But nonetheless, an interesting tie. Edin Dzeko should be playing for City. And Mario Balotelli, I think, is also playing, along with Tevez et al. And Liverpool are away to Sparta Prague on Thursday. Kenny Dalglish back to the old... European campaigns again, in the managerial sense at least, and they've got one or two injury worries, and Dalglish has been moaning this week about the fact that all these internationals have taken a toll on his squad, bless him. So that's that. And then a quick nod there, while we've been talking about German football, Stuttgart in a very bad way, and second from bottom in the Bundesliga, aren't they? They're away to Benfica, who are really doing tremendously well at the top of the Portuguese Liga. One would suggest that it could be a bit one-sided.
Stuttgart tend to be different, have been different animals in the Europa League. But if their league form is anything to go by, they're going to get shooed.
To coin a phrase. Yes, well, there we are.
I think Sevilla Porto could be an interesting game there, actually, in that round of fixtures there, because Sevilla haven't been doing very well at all, so it could be a rare chance for a Portuguese side to get one over on a Spanish team there, I think.
Indeed.
Yeah, it does always presents good value, the Europa League. I've always said that, and the UEFA Cup beforehand. I know that it's a bit of a convoluted format. I'm looking forward to Metalist Kharkiv versus Leverkusen as well. I mean, and Napoli Villarreal as well. You know,
Anderlecht Ajax could also be another one.
Anderlecht Ajax. I mean,
battle of the Low Countries. Oh yes,
we got some red hot ties going on here, people. So get involved.
Get out there and get involved with your local Europa League action.
Visit your local Europa League club now. Just 2 minutes walk.
The one thing about it is that it does have the sort of like feel of like cinema advert about it, doesn't it?
That's what I've just said.
Oh dear, I didn't think we'd ever get a sort of retro cinema ad reference.
Hey, Crusader, have you any notes?
Bless you, but I shouldn't have dismissed that.
I think it was fairly clear that that's where we were going.
Okay, Terry, your job when you're editing this together is to go off and find a bit of sound footage.
That's not going to happen,
but there we are. We can all dream, I suppose, can't we? There we are. So, yes, lots of...
Do you dream of cinema advert? Will you be dreaming of there being a cinema advert at the back end of this?
Well, I was just going to say, I'll go to sleep with the Pearl and Dean tune in my head, probably.
Pearl and Dean is too passé. I'm far more niche than that. It would have to be a Kiora advert or something like that.
Yes, it would be.
If I could just rein this back in, then... That's pretty much it for this week's podcast. Needless to say that we are now available for your listening pleasure on Netradio UK, so don't forget to get along there and have a listen to our show and everybody else's if you can. We're diversifying a bit, or at least I am at the moment. I'm now on the French Football Weekly podcast with Andrew Gibney, so if you're interested in French football, we're on there. And Terry, of course, for some time now, you've been a veteran, haven't you, really, on the Bundesliga show. Give us the details about that, please.
Bundesliga show. It's a Bundesliga podcast about the Bundesliga in English. It's great, and we have guests on and everything. Tomorrow I shall be interviewing ESPN's Derek Ray, the commentator, and we have a special guest later on in the week as well.
Yes, identity yet to be revealed.
It's so James Richardson, but you know.
So there we go. So French football and German football cater for as well. We just provide you with the full range of services here as far as podcasting is concerned. You'll love us for it. So there we are. Anyway, that's it for this week. Thank you very much indeed for listening. Do join us again next week for another Sound of Football podcast. But for now, from myself, from Terry and from Graham, it's a fond farewell. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. You can contact the show via our website at footballfairground.com/soundoffootball or on Twitter at twitter.com/soundoffootball. Alternatively, we're on Facebook at facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Well, let's make a decision now. I want to make a decision now. Let's make a decision.
Oh, God. No, you can't, because I need to go for a wee.